Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
I want you to get your Bibles. Go to Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Just put a pen there. And I'm going to illustrate my sermon this morning. Is that all right? All of you in here play a significant role in the body of Christ. Father, bless this word, this message. Sit Jason and Scales down and you speak in Jesus' name. Amen. All of you play a significant role in the body of Christ based off how you're wired. I run across a story. Everybody loves something. Some people love food. Some people love technology industry. People love various things, real estate, sports, whatever. I love church. I've loved church as long as I've known. I studied church. I watched church trends. And that was a church in Arkansas that ran about 250 to 300 people. That doesn't seem much. It's about what we run on the weekend. But that's a lot when your city only has 180 people in it. So they were trying to figure out how a church of 250 and 300 a church could run 250, 300 people when the city population was 189. What took place was unique there. On the weekends, they were seeing people join, people get saved. People were driving from neighboring cities to that church. This church was an Assembly of God church. And the story got back to, they were grouped out into, they had a bishop they reported to. So the story got to the bishop. And he called the pastor. He said, "Man, I hear your church is bigger than the city that you're in." He said, "What is going on?" And the guy was like, I don't know. He said, "Do you have new programs? You preaching new sermons? You've been spending extra time in prayer?" He said, "No, I've just been consistent in what I'm doing." He said, "I've been so busy enjoying it that I haven't stopped to try to figure out what is going on." Well, one day the pastor was getting ready for a Sunday night service, and he looked outside the window and he saw a lady standing outside, an older lady. It was a mainly Caucasian church. She was an African-American lady. And he saw her standing out there. She was outside like she was waiting to come in. And he went out and spoke to her because he didn't recognize her face. And he said, "Ma'am, how you doing? Thank you for coming." She said, "I enjoy this church. I don't have a church on Sunday morning. I love your preaching. I love the singing." And she said, I'm just enjoying it here." So she came in service, and after service, he talked to her, and she said, "I hear your cry. You want people to help because you got all the stuff going on." She said, "I don't have much money. I don't do a lot." But she said, "This is what I do. I'm probably the best cleaning lady in this city." She said, "I want to serve your church by cleaning. If you would just let me come in here and clean, I think that would be my due diligence to give you what I can to this church." So he said, "All right, you can clean." After a while, he showed up one Sunday early for church, and he noticed he heard a racket. His building was probably old like this one. There's a whole lot of noise to go on here. Well, ain't nobody here. I just pray Jesus keep me in my office. I know ain't none of y'all in here, but stuff just be moving. And he heard some stuff moving, and he walked out and he watched this lady. She had a cleaning rag in one hand and anointing oil in the other. And every time she would clean, she would pray. She prayed over the pews. She would dust them and anoint them and say, "God, when people sit in these pews, allow them to experience your word and the conviction of your word grip their heart." She would go over the altar. She'd pray over the altar and she said, "God, just don't let this altar be a place in the sanctuary, but draw people here so they can have changed lives." She went to every instrument. She anointed the instruments and cleaned it. And she said, "God, let a sound from heaven come through here every Sunday." She went to the pulpit and she prayed over the podium. And at the podium, he noticed she stopped and she dropped her head. And she said, "God, the load is so heavy. Pain is all too much in the congregation. The needs of your people are many. So, Father, when the pastor opens his mouth to speak, let him preach as a man from another world. Let him preach a living word to a dying world." The pastor broke down in that moment and broke down crying because he said, "That's it. That's probably the driving force behind what God is doing here. It's not just my preaching. It's not just my singing. But it's one lady that nobody knows about who, while nobody else is here, she's praying. She's anointing this place, and God's glory is filling the place." Can I let you know that no role is insignificant? You're here today because some of us have great college educations. We make a lot of money. You make more money than your parents probably have ever made. But what supports you is probably sometimes parents who didn't even finish high school but had enough values to instill in you to say, "This is the way of the Lord." You're standing on the shoulders. How many of y'all standing on the shoulders of some giants who don't have as much education as you have? But one thing they knew was the Lord. And they knew that if you trusted him and coupled him with your plan, things would work out. Who am I talking to in here? What I want to tell you is no role is insignificant in the body of Christ. Today I'm going to talk to you about kingdom building. I'm going to give you 7 principles to make it happy. There's some clean parts to kingdom building, but But that's a mess, and that's some messy parts. But all of our roles are vital. You ready? The first role is this. Number one, you got to discover the kingdom plan. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." The kingdom plan is to bring souls into the kingdom and then teach us to develop in our purpose. At BFF, here's our goal. I want to see as many people saved as can get saved, but I want to see you find fulfillment in life. There's a reason you didn't die the moment you got saved and go to heaven. You didn't die because God has you here for a specific reason, and I want to help you find it. We don't buy seats to sit empty. You say, "You want, man, you're just trying to get a full building." You betcha. Because I believe people need to hear the gospel. If they don't go here, they need to go somewhere. I believe people need to hear the gospel, and this thing right here changed my life. And I believe if you let it, it'll change yours as well. I have any testimonies in here of that. So here's what it looks like. Here's what the kingdom of God really looks like. And look, anybody got any fishermen in here? Anybody like to fish in here? Here's what the kingdom looks like. It looks like a pole, line, hook, bait. Anybody catfish? You like fishing for catfish? Anybody know anything about these chicken livers? And y'all would take a stocking and wrap them in stocking so you ain't lose all the blood. Yeah, what in the world are you talking about? The kingdom of God looks like this. We are after, what do fishermen, at the end of the day, what does every fisherman want to catch? A big one at that. The only thing that a fisherman wants, he may have all the gear, a fancy boat, lures, lines, all that stuff, but his end goal is fish. What is the goal of the church? You fish people. Do you know what the body of Christ spends more time arguing over? We spend more time arguing over bait than we do fish. All of us want the same thing, but we're just trying to figure out how to get it. I like hymns versus praise and worship. I need my preacher to squall a little bit and let me roll up on the benches a few times. I don't need mine to do all that. He just need to get up there and talk. I need to be over this. I need to be over that. And we spend more time arguing over bait than we do what it really takes to get fish. I'm going to tell you, BFF will do anything short of sin. We're not going to sin to reach people. But he that winneth souls must be wise. So every Sunday I'm throwing out bait. Every time we go, every time you see an iServe shirt walking in the community, every time you see a free car wash, that's bait trying to get fish into the kingdom of God. We don't argue over bait over here, but we do go catch fish. And watch this. Over here, no fish gets thrown back. You know those places you go, and if the fish too small, you can't keep it. Ain't nothing like that going over here. I don't care if you make $10 million or $10 a year. Every fish is important. I don't care if you Nemo in the Atlantic Ocean. If we catch you, we keeping you. You say, "Oh, I'm a fish with issues." Me too. Anybody honest in here say, "I may be a big fish, but I'm a fish. I got issues. You got issues. We got issues. But the thing is, we're caught by an amazing God, and he's working out my issues." I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. So I got to understand the kingdom plan. The second thing I got to understand is the kingdom presence. Get your Bibles and go to Psalm 16 and 11. Psalm 16 and 11. If you sleep on this part of the kingdom, you're going to miss a vital part of your life. The kingdom presence is what makes things flow. You know a minute ago when they were singing "I'm Alive" and they were going, man, I just wanted to jump. I forgot I couldn't dance, but I was just going at it. I forget I can't sing. Boy, I'd be killing poor Tony's ears over there. Y'all ever sit beside somebody like that in church? They really can't sing, but they, if you sit beside me, that's what you're going to get. But you know what makes you do that? It's good music and good singing, but the presence is on it. And the anointing draws you out. Psalm 16, 11 says this, "Thou wilt show me thy path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." What all of us are looking for, what we were created for, like fish needs water, like birds need the air, like married couples need love. What kingdom citizens are looking for is the presence of God. How do I get in his presence? I pray, I praise, I worship, I do great thing. And every kingdom builder needs a devotion. I was at a church growth conference, and I skipped out on one of my sessions because I was tired and sleepy. We've been in classes all day, so I was sitting there trying to sleep. Anybody ever sit beside somebody on a plane or somewhere, and you're trying to sleep, and they keep talking? That dude sat beside me, and he kept talking. I was like, man, can't you see? I'm closing my eyes, but he kept talking. And finally, he stopped and said, hey, sir. I said, yes. He said, you look heavy. You don't say. I'm sleepy. He said, no, you look heavy. And I said, all right. He said, do you worship? I said, yeah, man, we worship. We got great worship at our church. No, you, do you worship? He's very strong talking like this. He said, when you get up, do you have a time of devotion? Do you worship? And the truth be told, I didn't at that time. Pastoring, I didn't get up preaching to you all, but I spent more time here trying to get great words, trying to be creative and do this, but my devotion was lacking. And I blew him off like, dude, I mean, how's this? I don't even know who this dude is telling me to worship. One morning on the way to work, that's my time of devotion. I talked to God. It felt like, anybody feel like the weight of the world is on you? You trying to figure everything out. I know I had a tough day at work. I had stuff going on. And in my head, all I heard was the Holy Spirit and his word saying, you need to worship. I pulled over at a park by where I work, and I began to lift my hands, and just out there in the middle of nobody, nowhere but nobody, I just began to worship. Father, I don't know what to do today. I need your help. I need your guidance. You know I'm stressed. You know I'm trying to figure this out. You know I got pressure. You know I procrastinate on certain things. In that moment, God's presence began to fill me. In that moment, it wasn't just an emotional moment, because worship and praise is not just about, oh, he touched me and I felt good. I felt good. It's about hearing from God. He showed me my path of life. He said, Jason, this is what I need you to do today. And guess what happened? God's fullness. I got fulfillment in life because I have devotion. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have a time of devotion? The third thing is this. You got to find your purpose. You got to have a kingdom plan, kingdom presence. Now, you got to have kingdom purpose. Why are you here? Let your neighbor say, why are you here? Your purpose is like this pole. Your purpose is what hooks people into the kingdom. Every day you go out. Do I have any great cooks in here? Come on, anybody not ashamed, say, you cook some mean ribs, chicken. I mean, I'm a great cook. Do you know what you're doing every time? It's your purpose. You're casting out. Every day you go to work, you're casting. Every time you tell your wife, I love you, you're casting. Every time I preach, I'm casting. What you try to get people connected to is the kingdom through your hook. Let your neighbor say, you got a good hook. You know what makes a strong song? Is a good hook. I only halfway, like I'm not the biggest rap fan in the world, never have been. But when you hear something like that Sunday, Chris preached, and all I heard in my head that whole week was, I woke up in a new Bugatti. I'm like, I'm just, what are you needing? I didn't even know what a Bugatti was. I looked it up. But the hook got me. Some of us are wondering why we not catching nothing, but you ain't got no hook. Your hook is weak. And God said, I need you to discover your purpose so you will discover your hook. What is your purpose? It's why you're here. It's how you draw people into the kingdom. My purpose is to teach. My purpose is to serve. My purpose is to build. So every time I do it, I'm trying to hook somebody. All right? This is why you're so gifted. This is why God gave you your personality. This is why God gave you your talent. Not so you could just benefit, but he gave it to you because that's your hook to bring people into the kingdom. Not for yourself, but for the kingdom. Trees don't bear fruit for the benefit of themselves. Trees bear fruit for the benefit of others. Because of who you are, my life is that much better. Anybody thank God for some great cooks in your family? Yeah. You keep them healthy. You keep them satisfied. You keep them flowing. And the food, just chicken and just ham and just fish and just ribs and just ribs and just ribs. They just keep showing up. Why? Because the glory of a tree is its fruit, but trees don't bear fruit for the benefit of themselves. They bear for the benefit of others. And that's why a tree's got to stay connected to its root. That's why you got to be in God's presence. You don't produce based off affirmation. You produce based off your connection. So I got to find my kingdom purpose. Let's see if y'all a good class. Number one, you got to find the kingdom what? Oh, it's up there. Number two, yeah, that's all right. Number two, you got to find the kingdom what? Number three, you got to find your kingdom what? Then the fourth thing is, you got to find your kingdom passion. Purpose by itself is bland. Everybody got purpose. You just look on Facebook, you look everywhere. I'm an author. I'm called to teach. Everybody got purpose. But passion is like bait. It's what attracts people to your purpose. People want to see how passionate are you about it. Passion, watch this. Where's my hook? Fish don't bite hooks. Fish bite bait. You throw this by itself in the water, you're going to come back with this. You throw this in the water with this. Y'all laughing, but that's what most of us argue over. How you gonna catch him? But bait is messy because passion brings up tension. You wanna know what passion looks like? Put five people who can cook in the same kitchen for Thanksgiving. The meal's gonna be great, but they gonna argue over the dressing. You don't cook ham like that. Ham don't even need this. It's green beans. No, you don't put that in green beans. See, child, that's why I don't mess with nobody, no way. So I cook by myself. Passion creates mess. This is part of the messy part of ministry. You know why people say, I can't stand church. Church got all this. Listen, you can't have passion and not have mess with it. Matter of fact, if I don't see passion in you, just like whatever we do, I'm wondering if you really care. But you show me a person that really cares and they're not quiet. You show me a person that really cares and they have an opinion about things. Why? Because I love this. But remember, at the end of the day, you can't forget, our end goal is not bait. I mean, it's fish and not bait. So we got to understand what it is that God has given us to hook people. Y'all know this lady called Shonda Rhimes? Every Thursday at 9, she has something called Scandal. And Shonda looks like this. Shonda walked around her whole life as a hook, no different than nobody else. The only reason you know Shonda is because every night, every Thursday at 9, and some of y'all can't wait to January, she gave you Scandal. February, oh, sorry. You got me? You don't get that right. Don't mess with Shonda. Not only did she get you with Scandal on the same night, Grey's Anatomy, you wouldn't know Shonda except Scandal and Grey's Anatomy. She hooked you. Every night you set your DVR. You set whatever you ain't there because you're going to see Grey's Anatomy or you're going to see Scandal. Not only are you going to see it, but you're going to post it. You're going to argue. You talk about like they live next door. I can't believe she did. They not real. It's TV. Anybody in here got an iPhone? Anybody got an iPad? Anybody got Apple TV in here? Steve Jobs hooked us. Apple got us. They sold you the same product. If you got an iPhone, you got a mini iPad. It just dials out. They hooked us. That's the bait that hooked you and connected you to its purpose. If you're walking around and you got purpose, but nobody's biting, my question is, where's your passion? Do people feel when you get through singing, when you get through doing what you do, when they see you married, when they see you working, do they say, I got to have that? Oh, when they get finished, like, you can keep that Jesus. That Jesus keep you broke. That Jesus keep you going through. I don't want no parts of that Jesus. But when folks see your life, like, listen, I don't know what it is you got, but I want some of it. Look at your neighbor and say, where's your bait? Let me tell you a thing about bait. Bait attracts fish. Isaiah and I went to a duck pond, and we went there before, and he saw people feeding ducks. And he said, Daddy, I want to get some bread. There was a Dollar General there. We got bread. And he wanted to feed the ducks. This day we went out there, I ain't see a duck in sight. He still wanted to throw his bread. He's a young kid, about three or four at a time. He said, I'm throw the bread, Daddy. I said, you throw the bread. But ain't no ducks going to come get it. We might as well just throw rocks. He said, no, we're going to throw the bread. I don't know what Isaiah saw. But all I knew is Isaiah threw bread. And seconds later, ducks start coming out of everywhere. Ducks that I ain't know were there. I don't know if they came out the water, under the dock. Halfway scared me, but ducks came out of everywhere. That's the way your bait works to your purpose. You don't know how God's going to work it out. Only thing God said is throw it out there. And he'll bring fish in from the north, south, east, and west. All God is saying, are any single young ladies in here? Any single young ladies in here? All my single ladies. All God said is just get your, and I don't want to make it seem demeaning anything or derogatory, but get your bait together. Get yourself together. I ain't talking about walking around with your tail hanging out and all your cleavage and all that. But I'm talking about get your life together. Get your purpose together. Say, I ain't waiting on a man to pay my bills. I'm not waiting on a man to fix my life. I got all that. I'm looking for a partner in life, somebody to connect at the heart with. And watch what God surfaces out of nowhere. God said, just get your bake together. Anybody here that has a business or whatever you have, God said, get your product together. And when people taste and see that the Lord is good, you will have customers out of nowhere. And the best marketing you could ever get is word of mouth. Somebody said, I tasted it and it is good. And they tell somebody and they tell somebody and they tell somebody. But watch this. It works in the reverse as well. Have a bad day. Let somebody taste bad passion. You can have a great product. Anybody ever gone to a restaurant? I love Popeye's chicken. I don't eat enough of it. And I went there one day and that lady walked in there. She said, can I take your order? Yes, ma'am. I want 2 miles. We ain't got no mild thighs. All we got is spicy. Can you make something? No, that's all we got right now. And I said, you got some fries? I said, you know what? You got great food, but you got horrible service. Horrible service can ruin great food. Some of us got great ministry. We got great talents. We got great gifts. But God said, where is your service? Your service is the package by which you present what he's given you. And he said, if you just get the package together, you can't have a bad day. Yes, I know you ain't feeling good, but you wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not waiting on stuff to happen. I'm going to make it happen by the grace of God. Y'all right in here? So not only you got to have a kingdom plan, presence, purpose, passion. Then you got to find your kingdom people. Where my people at? This is the exciting part. The bait part, the catching, getting that stuff going, it's messy. But the reward of finally catching something feel good. When you finally connect with somebody. Anybody got some real friends in here? No, some ride or die, some folks. You say, man, they got me if ain't nobody else got me. These folks keep it real with me. You know, if anybody going to tell you the truth or they going to support you, that's them folks right there. Got real relationships. Now, here's the thing. I love diversity. We all fish different. Some may fish with liver. Some may fish with this. Whole thing is, in the day, connect with somebody who's fishing. It's hard to connect with somebody who don't want to go nowhere. And you trying to pull them and it's like dead weight. At least I want you driving and pushing something. Remember this with this point with finding your people. When God gets ready to birth a future, he birth a relationship. Every time God gets ready to birth a future, he birth a relationship. There are not many creatures in God's kingdom that are asexual. Asexual means they can reproduce by themselves. There are few plants that can do that. But no human being can reproduce anything, I'm not talking about children, without relationships. Every relationship in your life is producing something. That's why some relationships need to be nurtured. And some relationships need to be neutered. You got to ask yourself this question. What is this relationship producing in my life? Is it producing negativity? Is it producing fear? Or are they helping me to go forward in what God's calling me to be? Check your relationship. Check your kingdom people. The next thing is this. You got to find your position. You got to find your plan, presence, purpose, passion, people. Then you got to find your kingdom position. This is your fit within the body of Christ. Who you are never changes, but your fit, your role may change. I discovered an amazing, amazing thing, brothers, in my house. My daddy didn't teach me this one. He taught me a whole lot about marriage, but he didn't teach me this one. I had to learn this one the hard way. I would notice something about Barbara. She's like the greatest person in the world to be around. But when Barbara things are not in order, me and Isaiah just go sit in the corner just like this. Barbara keeps us, man, we just be on pins and needles. And I'm like, my prize, I'm the man up in this house. Ain't nobody gonna come here and have me in the corner up there with Isaiah. We playing Wii. And she around there just stomping and cleaning, not stomping and cleaning stuff. You know, she was getting stuff together. And I was trying to fix Barbara. I said, hold up. No, Barbara, she ain't gonna come home like this every day. No, not in my house. I work hard, pay the bills up in here. No, not in my house. You'll come in. I said, you need to fix your attitude when you come home. You know how that went. But now. My brother went to Africa and came back with his stick. And I said, man, what is this stick? He said, in Africa, when the men raise this stick, everybody in the house got to be quiet. I raised sticks, chairs. It was no quiet, nothing in the house. We were going at it. And finally, the Holy Ghost kicked in. My God. And said, Jason, if you get home before she does, straighten up a little bit. And the Holy Ghost had to tell me that. He said, straighten up. I was like, I thought I'd get some points right there. straighten up a little bit and see how she changed. Man, it was a good night. Man, everything in that, man, she walked in like, ooh, it like little mockingbird. You know, when Ray, you remember Ray was with Beast, I hear a bird chirping, a little fluttering. Man, I just like, I heard little angels and stuff going off. I said, that's all I had to do. But I had to punish my pride by not trying to be the man and serving her. When I served, I freed her up to be who she was. She cooked. Man, she can cook. Man, these things just flowed. It was not tense. But I couldn't fix it by fixing her. I hate cleaning. I don't like cleaning. But I love Barbara. And I'll do what I don't like because I love her. And love causes you to serve and find your fit. Y'all right? In the kingdom. James 4 and 6. I want to show you in the Bible. I learned a powerful secret about humility through this whole process. It was not easy. Because while I'm sitting here clapping, some of y'all brothers know exactly what I'm talking about. And ladies, y'all do too. It is getting to this point, somebody be honest and say, it's messy. Yeah. It ain't clean. I like this. But none of us just say, give me a handful of that chicken liver and just, no. The bait process is messy. James 4 and 6, I want to give you time to find it, says, but God giveth more grace, where he said God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I found out my humility either locked the door or opened the door to grace. Grace is access to God's supply. It's his unmerited favor in my life that when I served, my humility gave me God's ability. But when I was proud, I shut the door on everything God can do. I want to challenge some of you in here in this season. And it is very easy in this season to become selfish because our human nature always says, what about me? Right. And you can see there's a lot of less fortunate people than us. Some of us are complaining because you didn't get to buy the shoes at Kohan like you wanted because they had a sale. You got the coupon. You didn't get to go and take your family here and do this year. And you're complaining because I don't have this. But you try the person, the mother who's got four kids and $20, she's trying to stretch all week. Right. You try the person and you got all the activities and use of your limbs. You try the person that said, I just wish my limb would work like it used to. You try the person who is disabled, who looks at you and we're complaining about life, but they said, if I just had half the energy that they had, if I had half the strength, it's very easy to complain about what we do not have, but you punish your selfishness by serving. In this season, can I challenge you? Go serve. When you serve, your joy returns. If you ever find yourself like, man, ho-hum, like, man, what is wrong? Things ain't flowing. Find somebody and serve them. Help change their life and watch what it accesses in your life. Y'all right? Amen. Last thing is this. To have a kingdom strategy, to be a kingdom builder, you got to practice until you reach perfection. There are pretty parts of the kingdom, but this part isn't pretty because it's a bunch of catching and casting. Every day when you wake up, you're casting. You're hoping something comes in. You're believing God to send something to your bait. And then once you catch the fish, it would be enough just to say I caught a great fish. But fish don't come cooked and cleaned. Some of us, when we got saved, we said, man, God, I thought everything in my life was going to change. But is there anybody like me that said, I'm saved, but I still got some issues? Is there anybody like me that said, I'm saved, but I still got some issues? I need some real folks in here that said, I'm a saint, but sometimes I struggle with sinner problems. Yeah. Your attitude, your temper, things still wrestle with you. And Satan will make you question your identity, but you tell him, my issue don't define me. It don't control me. I'm caught, but I still got issues. But this is where the part gets messy, because when God catches you, there's some cleaning he got to do. There's some stinky stuff in you. That's some messed up thinking, because you can be saved and still think like a victim. You can have a warped sense of thinking. You can have a warped way of hearing and seeing things. And God has to come in now. I don't know where my knife went to. And he has to clean you. Somebody done stole the knife. I guess I have to buy you another one. Man, anybody old and still got that look from your parents and your heart still flutter like you're 12? I just had one of them moments, like, you remember you're in church, you acted up. I'm the pastor here. I done lost my daddy knife. Y'all right? This is the ugly part. It's not pretty, because what people see is pretty. But when God catches you, the practice part is we don't get it right every time. But man, no child comes with a manual. It don't. No child is the same. Man, beat your child. We're beating it. They just like that. It don't work on them. No, you got, and you know, you got to find ways to discipline. No woman is the same. No man is the same. What marriage classes and things do is give you principles. But no husband is the same. No wife is the same. And it gets messy when you're trying to make it work. But you know that it's worth it, so you work it. So that's where God comes in and cleans us. That's when God comes in just to get us to this point right here. Ain't got any good catfish lovers in here? Anybody like, I mean, you fry your catfish. You like fry it hard. Yeah, anybody like an all-you-can-eat catfish? Yes. Some guys, I'm getting hungry right now. White bread and mustard and hot sauce. I get my own self happy. Notice this when you go in the store. Everything that comes like this, and this is what many of us look like. We're raw, gifted, we can be anything. But on this thing, it normally says USDA approved. Because it can't get in the store until it's been processed and clean, and at this point, it's ready. This is what God does to us. He says, listen, I have approved you, but you're still raw. I've approved you, but you still got things that need to develop on the inside of you. My hand is on your life, but you are still developing. You're not doing things for affirmation. You're doing it because you are affirmed. You're doing it because my hand is on your life. But you would think that would be enough. But when God catches you, he approves you. Anybody going through some things in here? And it's like, God, is that enough? Just get through with me. And God lets you go through a few things. Not enough that the bait was messy, and it was the messy part of catching you, but God also seasons you. God, I'm having a hard time on my job. He said, don't quit. I don't understand this one. This hurts. It caught me off. Anybody that had a stuff just catch you off guard? Like, what in the world? But you can say, you meant it for evil, but God is seasoning me, and he meant it for good. And just be patient with me. God ain't through with me yet. For when God gets through with me, I shall come out as pure gold. So on your job, when you're going through, God's just seasoning you. When things get tough in life, God just put a little more on you. And some of you know that it ain't just good meat. Me and Barbara, we make some good steaks. And the steak ain't good because I'm out there singing hymns over them and praying in the spirit. The steak is good because Sister Barbara get in there and put her elbow in it and she seasons it. We got some marinated. We just let it sit in there. It ain't nothing like a steak that marinades overnight. Woo! And when you get that steak and you let all the seasoning go through, God then takes you, and like that is enough, he puts you in the fire. And God lets the fire seal what he's done in your life. God, it hurts. God, it burns. But God said, this is my process, that once I catch you, I'm not through with you. I got some things I'm trying to do in your life. And you know the great thing about some food? It's better the second day. Anybody has some pasta that you ate the first day? But the second day when you got to work, you almost went in five levels of tongues and ran around your office. Because that seasoning kicked right in that spaghetti. You are the same way. You get better with time. He perfects you. He lets what he's done sit in you. And God said, I'm just seasoning you. I'm making you into something great. Some of you here right now are looking like, God, life ain't pretty for me. Don't feel bad. It ain't pretty for a lot of us. He's either trying to reel you in or he's trying to prune you. But God said, I'm doing something incredible in your life. Stand to your feet all over the building. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. I want to talk to some people who feel like they're just floating. No purpose, just, man, I'm just here. And you haven't figured out the real fulfillment in life is being hooked, connected to God through Jesus. And you don't know him in the free pardon of your sin. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you at your seat. You said, either you say, I don't know him, Well, I need to recommit my life to him. I need you to slip your hand up all over the building. If that's you, say, I want to know God. I want to know him. I want to reconnect to him. Yeah. And God, I thank you. Oh, God, I bless you. God, I thank you for your son, Jesus. How he died on the cross for our sins. I pray that you just cover every person in this room. That they come to know you. The Jesus that I serve. You're real. You show us our path to life and fulfillment. I'm going to ask you to stay at your seat, but I'm going to pray for some people who feel like, man, listen, I'm going through that messy process right now. Either God's cleaning you, he's trying to get you ready, or he's trying to reel you in. In your house, it may be, or in your job, or just in your company, or whatever it may be. That passion process. God's working in you. I want you to slip your hands up all over this building. I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you. For every person in this place, I thank you that you perfect us. I thank you that we get the opportunity to practice and that we are in good company. The good thing is when we go to the doctor, when we look on the wall, we'll see that they just practicing. When you go to an attorney, as smart as they may be, on their wall, you'll see that they have a law practice. I thank you that we get the opportunity to practice. We don't get it right every time, but God, here's the thing. If we keep practicing, you're going to perfect us. And we're going to produce a product, God, that pleases you. I thank you, oh God, right now for giving us the wisdom on how to fish, how to bait, how to pull things in, and how to make things flow. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, go fish this week. Oh, come on, tell somebody else. Tell them, go fish. Tell somebody else. Go hug somebody and tell them, go fish this week. Take your purpose and serve it up. Put passion on your purpose and see what you bring in. Every husband, if you're in here, if you don't mind, you want to, look at your wife and say, I'm going fishing this week. Well, I'm going to serve this week. Like, what are you talking about? I'm going to serve this week and our house is going to flow in the name of Jesus. You might be seated.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.